Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast. Hi, welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm Sherry.
And I'm David.
And we are on our second episode talking about internal family systems. So to briefly catch you up, IFS, internal family systems, is a theory that we're going to discuss and a way that you can start understanding how you work mentally and emotionally, and how you can work towards more positive outcomes in your life.
And probably, would you say you use this more than anything else?
Yeah, I would say I use this. I use accelerated resolution therapy a lot. And yeah, but this is a really big part
of good framework.
What I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, solid framework to help understand the system. So if you haven't listened to the first episode, I would direct you to that. Otherwise, a lot of what we're talking about isn't going to make a ton of sense.
Right.
But just understanding this, how IFS works and what these different parts are, it's very much a parts, it's a concept of how we have different parts that all work together. So last episode, we talked specifically about the self, and how the self is our core center being. It is very, it's healthy.
It's the core.
It knows how. Yep. To handle everything. It knows how to show up well, and it's inherent in all of us. And the idea of IFS is that we can be self-led as much as possible.
That's the goal.
Yep. And we're going to do that through working with other parts that are coming up and helping understand all of them so that we can work with them together, and also to heal some of those parts as well. So we've discussed the self. So go back and listen to that. We've got a lot of good information there. So the other parts that we have are wounds and protectors that are, you can have firefighter protectors and manager protectors. So let's talk a little bit about what each of these are.
And why they're called what they are.
Right. Hopefully they're super self-explanatory.
Yeah, well, yeah, firefighter, manager.
Yes, like, that's okay. A little bit. Okay.
Help me get there.
Let's just start with the wounds. Dan,
wounds.
You start with the wounds.
So wounds are pretty self-explanatory,
yes.
Right? These are things that have happened that have... You could say caused a separation of sorts. Something was,
yes,
really hard. Something caused you to pull away, to separate, to isolate. It was, you know, a trauma, something very difficult to deal with. And one thing when we're talking about wounds, we consider both the things that have happened in your life and the things that have happened in your parents and grandparents, and you could say...
And even culture.
Culture. Sometimes these are referred to as burdens. And there's legacy burdens that are meant to describe things that have come down, either through history or just culturally around you. Generationally.
Right. So you've got this trauma, right? And that can be a big T trauma or a little T trauma, right? And because of that, like, a part of you gets wounded. So that gets pulled off from, like, from self, right? We just, when we're born, we just have self. And then something happens, and then we have a part of us that's wounded, right? So these parts actually come from self. And so this wounded part, this is hurt by whatever's happened, this trauma. And it has these, and it has a burden that's associated with that, right? Like, this awful thing happened, and now I've got this burden that I have to deal with. And again, just like David was saying, these can be, they can be something intergenerational that happened, or it can be like a historical cultural type of a burden. And if it's one of those, it's called a legacy burden. So, it can be an intergenerational legacy burden, that's come down, or it can be an intergenerational, or it can be a cultural legacy burden, maybe related to, for example, something that happened within your specific culture or race that is a burden that you're holding as well. So they come from different situations that we go through, or that culturally we've brought through, which, you know, some people can resonate with that because they feel like, you know, our DNA that changes and gets passed down, right? So some people can kind of connect with it that way and go, oh, okay, yeah, that I see that sort of legacy burden type of thing. Or other people that are like, you know, it's a nurture thing, but this parent nurtured this parent, which nurtured, this parent. And so these different things get passed down that way. So however that connects with you, but also just things that happen to us, right? Even if you have a fantastic upbringing,
right? Not a lot of takers on that one, but yeah.
But even if you have a fantastic upbringing, your parents or every single person around you is not always going to act exactly the way that's going to be the very most helpful for you in every single moment, every single situation.
Right.
So even potentially, you know, quote unquote small things can end up being, can end up causing wounds and burdens.
Right.
And then you'll develop some unhealthy coping skills as a result of that, which we'll talk about in a minute as your protectors.
Right.
But you'll get these core beliefs that will develop from that wound. So for example, a wound that you could develop might be around, my parents got really mad at me when I made a mess on the floor, right, when I'm two. And I just got really unhinged. Maybe I just had a bad day or something. So they get really unhinged at me for making a mess on the floor. And that is really painful to me, right? And as a two-year-old, right? And so I may develop a core belief that I'm bad, or that if I don't, if I'm not super clean,
I mess things up.
Yeah, I mess things up.
Yeah.
Right? That I have to like determine my worth by how well I maybe keep things clean, or even just general like people pleasing types of things that you can then start to develop as a result of that, right? So you get these core beliefs. I'm bad, I mess things up, I'm a problem. So then we develop these wounds, right? This part of ourself, and it pulls off and it's like, ooh, ouch, that hurts, right? And then part of ourself will also pull off to protect that wound. Right? And so it kind of develops into a protector, right? And protectors are typically they're going to respond sometimes in ways that are not necessarily helpful, right? So that's where we're going to get a lot of our unhealthy coping skills. Well, all of our unhealthy coping skills, right?
All.
Yes, all of them.
According to the theory, right?
Okay. Yes. So they're going to try to protect that wound from being re-wounded, right?
And from showing up.
And from showing up and...
And causing ruining our lives.
Like pain and havoc and, yeah.
Interrupting what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Ruining our lives is a really good way to describe how the protectors see those wounds coming up, right? Like
it's almost like at all costs.
Yes. Protect it. We want to protect it, but also we don't want it like rearing its head in the middle of our life, right?
And it's important to note, right, that these parts have positive intentions.
Yes. That's one of the very most key important things to understand about all of our parts is there are no bad parts. Every part has positive intentions, right? These protectors that are to have these maladaptive coping skills or less effective coping skills to try to handle the situation, they have very positive intentions. They are trying to keep you safe. They're trying to keep you happy. They're trying to take care of you. They're trying to make sure you're okay, right? And sometimes they're just doing it in ways that are a little bit less effective.
Right, that are getting in the way as well of our lives. And I think that's important. The idea being, ultimately, and we'll talk probably more about this, but to bring all the parts into harmony and doing good things and not to get rid of or make enemies of. And you can kind of think sometimes in terms of addiction. Yes. Often people say, okay, I just want to kill that part. I wish I could just strangle my addiction. I would kill it. I would, well, from an IFS perspective, we would say, well, that addiction developed for a reason.
Yes.
And the goal is not to to kill it. In fact, it's not how it works, is to kill parts, but rather we want to move towards and with and understand,
yes,
and not against.
Yep, yep. And just like I say all the time about people in general, that when you really understand someone, they make sense.
Right.
The same thing is true of these parts. When you really understand these parts, they make sense. It makes sense why they're doing what they're doing. And then we can extend compassion as we've extended curiosity towards them. We can extend compassion towards them.
Compassion.
Understand them. Yep.
And curiosity, what is that?
Those are part of our 8 C's of the self.
The self, right? Yep. This is where the self comes back in.
Yep. Exactly. So with protectors, we have two different types of protectors. We have firefighters and managers. And you don't necessarily need to remember all this to understand that, you know, you have a part that's being a protector. But
it's helpful to know why they're worded that way.
Yeah. We'll just kind of explain a little bit about them and why you have, like, they're different. So your managers are kind of your long view people. They're your, like, managing the day-to-day. We want to keep our job. We want to achieve goals. We want to be good people. All of those kinds of things. So they will kind of manage what's happening day-to-day. And try to make sure that things are running smoothly. So managers might show up like people pleasers. Like, I'm going to show up to kind of take care of, like, this long term, like, I just got to manage what's going on with other people and make sure everybody's happy so that I can be okay and everything's going to go well. Right. Or
perfectionists.
Yep, that's, for sure.
That's me.
I gotta do all the things. And
there we go.
Yep. I gotta do all the things in all the ways so that everything will go smoothly, so that life will run smoothly. The inner critic is also a manager, right? A part that kind of runs around and shames other parts into doing what it wants them to do so that everybody's doing what we're supposed, quote unquote, supposed to do to get through and make it through life. So those are managers. And then the other part, the protector, type of protector, is a firefighter. And firefighters are reactive. So, for example, addiction is a firefighter. It's a part that shows up because, like a wound has kind of popped its head up. Something's triggered it. Or we're just not feeling great, you know, something's not going very well. And this firefighter jumps in and goes, okay, I'll take care of it. I got it. So with addiction, for example, you've, you know, hungry, you know, our HALT BS acronym, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, bored, sad, right? When those things can kind of rear their heads, the firefighter's like, but it jumps into gear and goes, I got it. We'll take care of it. Don't worry. I know what to do. We'll go drink. We'll go look at porn.
No matter how destructive it is, which is why it's kind of funny, firefighters, like, you're going to put the fire out.
Yes.
But you're going to destroy the house doing it. You're going to soak everything, break windows and doors. You're going to tear walls down, but you will put the fire out.
But we'll put the fire out. Yeah. The
fire of those emotions. Yeah.
Yes. So you can see how sometimes managers and firefighters are kind of at odds with each other.
Don't get along.
The manager is not a fan of the firefighter, right?
Right.
And can sometimes try it. So the managers are often trying to exile the wounds, like just shove that down. Don't think about how your mom treated you when you were 8, you know,
right.
Just kind of push that down. But then they can sometimes try to push and exile some of the firefighters out. Like,
'cause that doesn't work.
Yeah.
For the long view, it doesn't work for what you're trying to accomplish.
But they will. And, you know, we can see that in life so much, right? So even just let's use that addiction example with the firefighter. So, you know, you have someone that's been exposed when they were really young, that didn't learn to really connect with their emotions, all those different kinds of things. So you've got probably a perfectionist. You might have a perfectionist part that's running around, a manager. You've got an inner critic manager that's trying to keep everything under wraps, right? You had some wounds maybe when you were young. Maybe you were sexually abused when you were young. Maybe your parents found out that you were looking at porn and yelled at you or didn't handle it well, like most in the generations past.
That's easy, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Didn't handle things well, right? So you're running around with these wounds, and then you've got these managers and these firefighters, this firefighter of addiction that's trying to take care of things. Now, a lot of people come in and they're like, okay, we just, again, like David's saying, we just need to cut that out. We just need to get rid of that firefighter. Tell me what part is talking. It's the inner critic, right? It's a perfectionist. It's like these parts are talking and they're getting really loud. Like, you're destroying our life. You need to get out of here.
Yeah.
Right? That's not self talking, because self is compassionate, curious, calm, has clarity, is able to kind of, has that confidence and connectedness.
Isn't threatened. No fear.
Yes. It's not threatened. And so what we want to do is have self start talking.
Yeah.
And start interacting with these parts. And start talking to this firefighter and really starting to understand why it's doing what it's doing. Right? Because if we start talking about it, does that make sense? Right? Why is this addiction showing up? Can you tell me how you're trying to help? Right? And so we would ask a person to find that. What does it feel like? Where in the body does that firefighter sit, right? When that shows up, where does it show up in the body? And we'd ask that person to get in touch with that part, and we'd see if we could talk to it directly and say, hey, addictive part, like, can you tell me a little bit about you? Like, we believe that you're trying to help. Can you tell us how? How are you trying to help? We want to make sure that we understand what you're doing. We believe you are, and we want to know better what's going on for you. And a lot of times that addictive part will say, yeah, I'm trying to help, and I'm like really mad at these managers over here, these guys over here that are like shaming me and telling me that like I'm bad and whatever, but I'm trying to help. Like,
right.
You're getting distressed, you're having like these, you get stressed at work, you know, your wife yells at you, you know, whatever, like these things are happening. And it's too much. It's just too much to deal with. And that triggers you from when you were a kid and your parents were yelling at you or whatever. Like, it's just, that's too much. I'm taking care of you. I'm helping you feel okay, right? And all of a sudden, instead of us feeling like, oh, we just, you know, gotta get rid of this part, we start to understand that it's really trying to help. It's right. Really trying to, it has these positive intentions. And it can tell us a lot about a lot of different things. When it started showing up, how it's been doing its job. And usually these protectors are pretty worn out and they're not a fan of doing their job. They just don't know what else to do.
Well, yeah. I mean, you think about how these develop when you're young. Mm-hmm. Why would you know how to effectively deal with anything?
Exactly.
And so when you wonder why these parts might be so destructive, well, they've been around a long time and they're not like these developed adult brain,
mm-hmm.
know the best thing in every situation. These are doing the best they can with what they have since little.
Yes, exactly. So it makes perfect sense that they're showing up in these ways. And so they've been doing it a long time. They're usually pretty exhausted. They usually love to be doing something else. They just don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And so if they don't have any, like, they don't know what else to do to manage things, to help with things, then they're going to do that because you've got to feel okay.
Yeah.
So something has to
You won't
to
function if you don't feel okay. So.
Yeah. Yep. So we've just got to do something. And so, and usually they are also aware, if you can extend that compassion and that curiosity toward them and really try to connect with them and understand them, they eventually will usually, they'll be pretty open about the fact that they can see that what they're doing also is causing additional suffering. They can see that, and they don't really like it that that's what's happening, but they just don't know what else to do. So that's what we want to do, and part of the beginning stages of IFS is starting to get to know these parts and understand why they're doing what they're doing, so we can start working together with them and help them together to be able to, like, heal. Ultimately, what we want to do is heal the wounds, those wounded parts, so that those protectors don't have to do those jobs anymore.
Right.
And they can, and they're usually really open. Like, man, if we can take that wound away, if we can heal some of those things, like, man, I am so good. Like, I would much rather do something else. And we can look back to what part of self they may have pulled from. Like, a lot of them pull from some of those 8 C's, and they start doing an extreme version of something like that. An extreme version of being a helpful, connected, courageous, you know, part of you. And so you can work with them to find a new job for them where they can be, like David said in the last episode, kind of these advisors to you and help you. So sometimes protectors will be like, yeah, can I be like a boundary part? Like, that helps you see boundaries instead of like flying off the handle and screaming at people because, you know, they're doing X, Y, or Z, right? Or maybe like an addictive part might want to be a part that helps you really be connected to your needs and listen to your needs and meet your needs in this, you know, beautiful advisory, connected, curious way, compassionate, self-compassionate way, so that, you know, you don't have to engage in that addictive behavior anymore. So some of these just kind of interesting little concepts and just a little taste of what that can look like as you're moving into therapy.
So see what you think about all of this and see how you feel about it. If this is helpful to you, or you think, hey, you know what, that makes a lot of sense, or I've even noticed that, mm-hmm. and that helps explain actually maybe why I do some of the things that I do, and I can see that I do those things when these things happen. If any of this is kind of coming together for you, IFS may absolutely be a helpful approach to this. And of course, like everything else, you can do a lot on your own.
Yes.
You can learn a lot on your own, especially nowadays.
Yep.
Information everywhere. But there are some really good recommendations.
Right. So Dick Schwartz has written a book called No Bad Parts. And this is for a layperson. This is not like a book for therapists.
It's not a therapy book, yeah.
And so you can read that, No Bad Parts, and it goes through and kind of explains in more detail and really helps you start to get a good feel for it. And he even has written out meditations that you can do and go through so that you can start discovering some of these parts and understanding what they are, because we all have lots of different protectors and lots of different wounds, right? And so it's so he goes through and you can start learning a little bit about that. Another really good resource is he just came out with it's called Internal Family Systems Workbook. It's green. And it's more of a workbook. So once you kind of get the basic foundation and understanding of it, you can kind of look at that workbook and it will take you through exercises that will help you to learn more about your parts, find them, and learn how you can work with them and heal them and all of that. So
read No Bad Parts first. Mm-hmm. Then, if this is really calling to you,
yes, get
the Internal Family Systems Workbook.
Internal Family Systems Workbook, yes, by Dick Schwartz. Both of them are by Dick Schwartz.
And absolutely consider working with an IFS therapist.
Yeah. Yep. Really good stuff. Thanks so much for joining us as we jumped into all of this.
Really good stuff. We always hope this is helpful and appreciate you listening.
See you next time.
Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.